Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the place where we take stacks of complicated research, distill them down to the purest insight, and send you back out into the world, informed and hopefully a little bit amazed.
Today, we are taking on a challenge that sits right at the theoretical edge of artificial intelligence and information science.
We really are.
We're doing a deep, rigorous examination of the geometry of memory, asking a very fundamental question. What is the ideal mechanism for sustained perfect recall in an artificial system?
That's right. Our sources today are highly technical. We've got a synthesis of the Unified Informatic Topology Framework, or UIT, some specialized GitHub documentation, and, you know, classical lectures on recurrent neural networks.
And they all point toward a truly revolutionary new recurrent architecture. The overall network is called the Neural Phase State Network, or NPSM.
No. But we are going to focus intensely on its core foundational element, the harmonic round. That stands for Riemannian Optimized Unified Neural Dynamo.
Which is a mouthful.
It is. So we're just going to call this core processing unit the uNeuron.
And our mission today is ambitious. We need to understand how this uNeuron allegedly solves the most persistent and really fundamental problem in sequential AI.
The long-term memory problem.
Exactly. The one where traditional AI models just fail decisively. And maybe more importantly, what this success implies about the foundational mechanisms of intelligence itself.
Okay, let's unpack this by defining the stakes. Before we can appreciate the solution, we have to really look at the problem. Where is the graveyard for traditional sequential AI?
The definitive graveyard, the task that has truly separated robust memory from, let's say, statistical guessing, is the temporal parity task.
Okay, when we talk about parity, you might immediately think of simple error checking. But in this context, it is essentially the ultimate XOR chain test, is that right?
Precisely. Imagine you're feeding a network a very long stream of binary numbers, ones and zeros, maybe 1,000 steps long.
Okay.
Every time the number one appears, the underlying logical state flips. So even becomes odd, odd becomes even.
And if it's a zero, nothing changes.
Right, the state remains the same. The network's job is to track whether the total number of ones it has seen so far is even or odd, and then correctly predict that final parity bit at the very, very end of that long sequence.
It's like the AI equivalent of tracking a single light switch state across 1,000 flip instructions. If you forget just one of those early flips,
the whole thing is ruined. Your final output is wrong.
It sounds so deceptively simple. I mean, humans can do this pretty easily. But for machines, this demands perfect, sustained, non-degrading memory.
Absolutely. The problem requires what's called logical invariance, whether the sequence is 10 steps or 10,000 steps, the fundamental logic, the parity, it has to be preserved.
And conventional wisdom, for a long time, suggested that standard recurrent neural networks, or RNNs, should be able to solve this. I mean, they're theoretically Turing complete.
They are. They're designed to map from one variable length sequence to another. And if you look under the hood, an RNN is basically a massive deep feedforward network that unfolds in time.
Where that hidden state, the HD dollars, is supposed to be the accumulated short-term memory of everything it's seen before.
That is the architectural intent, yes. But the sources we looked at contrast that intent with the empirical reality. They tested this uNeuron against the industry standard, the GRU model, the gated recurrent unit.
And they tested it on a 16-bit parity task, which is a sequence length that really forces the model to hold that memory for a long critical duration.
It does. And this is where the failure becomes really quantitative and, frankly, pretty stark.
So what happened?
After 900 epochs of intense training, the standard GRU models just, they flatline. They stall out at a highly frustrating accuracy of around 76%.
76%. So they just hit a wall. They can't hold that memory long enough.
They can't. They're essentially guessing for the remaining 24% of the time. It's just a statistical approximation at that point.
So they get stuck approximating the solution instead of deterministically locking onto the truth.
Exactly. But the results from the NPSN's harmonic round architecture, this uNeuron, are categorically different. It consistently achieves 100.0% accuracy on this exact same task.
Wait, 100%?
100%. It locks in the correct result perfectly every single time.
On the parity task, that's not just an improvement. That's a categorical jump. That's like, it's like finally solving a fundamental limitation that has held back this entire field for decades.
It is.
So this raises the central question we started with. Why does the uNeuron succeed where these established, celebrated models like the GRU and LSTM fundamentally fail?
The short answer, as the UIT framework puts it, is that the U neuron fundamentally changes the medium of memory storage. It shifts from a probabilistic magnitude-based memory to a deterministic phase-based memory.
That sounds like a philosophical shift as much as an engineering one. Before we dive into the U neuron's internal mechanics, we need to understand exactly why that magnitude-based approach was, you know, doomed in the first place. Let's look at the topological failure of traditional recurrent neural networks.
Exactly. So first, let's just establish the common ground here. RNNs, LSTMs, and GRUs are essential. I mean, tasks involving sequence history like understanding language, predicting stock prices, analyzing time series data, you just can't handle those with standard feed-forward networks that treat every input independently.
And that feedback loop is the key, right? The hidden layer, HTN and RNN, takes input not just from the current time steps, $6, but also from its own immediate past state.
Yes, and that's what gives it the illusion of memory.
The illusion. That's where the problem lies.
It is. The core challenge is the long-term dependency problem. When we train these networks, we use a technique called backpropagation through time, or BPTT.
Right.
And to adjust the weights at the start of a long sequence to teach the network how to handle an input from, say, 100 steps ago, the error gradients have to flow backward through all those time steps.
And as those gradients multiply through the weights at each step, they suffer from exponential decay or growth.
Right. And if the decay is too great, that's the famous vanishing gradient problem. The signal telling the network to correct its weights for something that happened 100 steps ago, it just vanishes. The network effectively forgets the initial input.
Which led to the development of LSTMs and GRUs.
Which are, I should say, ingenious solutions. They use these complex, learned, and differentiable gates, the forget gate, the update gate, the reset gate, to explicitly control the information flow.
They're like internal traffic cops.
Perfect analogy.
Right.
They're traffic cops, deciding what past information should be preserved and what can be safely discarded at every single time step. This lets the gradients flow back more smoothly.
But, and this is a big question, if LSTMs and GRUs are so mathematically sophisticated with their gating, why do they still hit that 76% wall on long parity? If they're designed to solve vanishing gradients, why does the memory still erode?
This is where we get into the GRU's inherent topological flaw. The sources call it contraction bias.
Contraction bias. Okay.
To solve the parity task perfectly, the GRU needs its internal hidden state space, which is a very high-dimensional landscape, to maintain two completely distinct stable areas, one for the even state and one for the odd state.
Basins of attraction, basically.
Exactly. So when a one comes in, the network's internal state needs to jump cleanly from the even basin to the odd basin.
A clean, deterministic shift.
It has to be. But if you look at the underlying math of the gates, they rely on activation functions like sigmoid or hyperbolic tangent.
And those functions are, by their nature, fundamentally contractive.
They are. They squish, they compress, they constrain values between 0 and 1, or nimbilo 1 and 1. And that constraint is necessary to keep the network stable to prevent gradients from exploding.
So the very thing you need for numerical stability introduces the memory loss.
Precisely. The contractive nature of the gates, compounded by tiny numerical noise and the non-linearity of the system, means that over hundreds or thousands of steps, the distinct trajectories representing even and odd states, they slowly, inevitably begin to drift toward each other.
So the high-dimensional even basin starts inching closer to the odd basin.
It's like having two separate streams of water running down a hill. But the topography of the land, the contractive nature of it, slowly forces them to merge into one big central muddy pool.
And you can no longer distinguish which stream is which.
That's exactly the dynamic. The GRU's state space eventually becomes a chaotic landscape of transient states, not a system of stable, clearly defined attractors. The network loses the separation.
And it loses the ability to tell the difference.
Exactly. The sources even draw parallels to biological memory, where working memory representations are seen to drift toward the mean. It's the same information erosion caused by the same contraction bias.
So the core failure is this. The GRU is trying to solve a problem that is inherently topological, tracking the invariant property of parity, like a winding number around a cycle.
Using a highly variant and numerically fragile tool, geometric approximation.
They're trying to separate these states using hyperplanes in a finite space that's constantly shrinking.
And that approach is just mathematically inefficient and ultimately unsustainable for arbitrary lengths. You can't maintain an invariant property if your entire mechanism relies on shrinking the magnitude of the signal that holds it.
So the key takeaway from this failure analysis is that simply tweaking how much information flows, which is what the gates do, isn't enough.
It's insufficient. Mm. You need a mechanism that is structurally guaranteed to prevent contraction in the first place.
Okay, that failure analysis sets the stage perfectly for the solution. Mm. We need a memory structure that is inherently non-contractive, magnitude preserving.
And that leads us directly to the harmonic round, the U-neuron, and what you called the phase state shift.
Exactly.
So the U-neuron completely breaks the mold of conventional recurrent models, and it starts with a really radical architectural choice.
Which is?
It is a gateless architecture. It discards all the complex, learned gating mechanisms, the very things LSTMs and GRUs are famous for.
A gateless architecture. I mean, that flies in the face of everything we've learned from the last decade of RNN design. If it has no forget gate, how can it possibly regulate information and prevent the memory from just exploding? Which is what happens in a standard ungated RNN.
It doesn't need to regulate forgetting because it's structurally designed to guarantee that the information is never attenuated or amplified. The core engine is the phase accumulator.
Your phase accumulator, okay.
It updates its state not through linear addition or gated compression, but through pure rotation plus delta phi.
So we're moving from adding and squishing numbers to literally just spinning a dial.
We are.
But why is rotation the fundamental solution to long-term memory?
This is the central aha moment of the UIT framework. It all boils down to one critical principle in linear algebra.
Okay.
Any matrix that represents a rotation is an orthogonal matrix. And the key mathematical property of an orthogonal matrix is that its determinant is exactly one.
That sounds abstract. What is a determinant of one guarantee in the context of, you know, information storage?
In geometric terms, the determinant of a transformation matrix represents the factor by which the volume of the space is scaled. If the determinant is more than one, the space is expanding, that's exploding gradients.
And if it's less than one, the space is contracting. That's our vanishing gradients, our contraction bias.
Exactly. But when the determinant is exactly one, the volume is preserved.
So if the U-neuron uses a rotation matrix, it guarantees the magnitude of the signal, the size or fidelity of the hidden state, is preserved indefinitely. It's not compressed, it's not attenuated, no matter how many steps or rotations you perform.
That's it. It's like a perfect gyroscope spinning without friction.
That's a great analogy.
The memory is stable because it's structurally invariant to the passage of time. The information isn't stored as a magnitude that decays. It's stored as an angle or a phasal winding number. And that's a topological property that cannot erode due to contraction bias.
And that is what ensures the 100% accuracy on the parity task.
That's the mechanism.
This is incredibly powerful. The U-neuron basically stores the history of the sequence in the stable rotational position. And no matter how long the sequence, that position is mathematically guaranteed not to degrade.
Exactly. Now, to really drive home how robust this design is, we have to look at the empirical evidence from the sources, the four benchmark domains that the U-neuron was tested against.
Right. These were explicitly chosen to stress test every facet of long-term dependency, from simple logic to abstract geometry.
They were. So let's start with the one we've already been talking about, the foundational test, discrete logic, the 16-bit parity task.
A sequence length of 1024.
Right. And as we say, the U-neuron locks perfectly. 100.0% accuracy. This is the conclusive proof that the rotational mechanism maintains the parity state, the winding number, without any erosion.
So it solves the XR graveyard problem.
Completely. Where the GRU just caps out at 78%. The memory is deterministic, not probabilistic.
Okay, next, domain two. Ordered structure, focusing on balanced brackets or the Dick language task.
This is a test of hierarchical stability and sequential context. The Dick language is a recursive grammar where the network has to ensure every opening bracket is correctly matched by a closing bracket, even with really complex nested structure.
And the result.
Here, the round also achieves 100.0% accuracy.
So what's the specific significance of 100% here? I mean, LSTMs can often do pretty well on simpler sequence tasks.
The key insight from the sources is that the U-neuron exhibits perfect stability and self-correction, even in a purely streaming context.
Meaning it processes tokens one by one without seeing the whole picture first.
Exactly. It's a crucial test of memory efficiency. The phase mechanism inherently handles nested dependencies because the rotation effectively stacks the structural state without mixing or diluting the existing context. Each bracket operation translates cleanly into a specific non-contractive rotation.
So that perfect stability suggests that geometric memory handles deep, nested, recursive structures way more effectively than magnitude-based gates, which would struggle to keep track of multiple context hierarchies at the same time.
Precisely. Now, moving to domain 3, cyclic logic, exemplified by modulo 8 addition. This is a test of rhythmic arithmetic tasks where the state has to cycle predictably.
And this is where the uneuron showed its limitations, but still, you know, drastically outperformed the baseline.
Correct. The uneuron got about 60.0% accuracy here compared to the GRU's dismal 33.0%. But the failure mode analysis is what's really fascinating.
How so?
It shows the resilience of the architecture. The sources state that the round model aliases securely to mod 4 while the GRU just collapses into random noise.
What does it mean to alias securely to mod 4?
It means the network found a stable, structurally sound solution, but it only captured half of the complexity. Instead of calculating modulo 8 correctly, its phase space settled into a stable lattice that accurately calculated modulo 4.
So it failed gracefully.
Exactly. It failed into a simpler, predictable, stable structure rather than collapsing into the statistical chaos that the GRU showed. This points to a current harmonic limitation, maybe fixable with more neurons or different settings, but the integrity of the underlying geometric structure stayed intact.
So even when it fails, it gives you a structured, predictable error, which is far better than just random noise.
Absolutely. Finally, domain 4, continuous topology, the 2D winding classification task.
Now, since the uneuron is based on rotation, this should be its native language.
It is its home turf. The task is to feed the network continuous sine and cosine values that trace a path in 2D space. The network then has to classify the winding number, how many times that path wraps around the origin.
And the result.
Since the inputs map directly to the internal phase state, the round achieves 100.0% accuracy very, very quickly. It locks in the result by epoch 50 much earlier than the GRU, which eventually also gets high accuracy on this specific test. The uneuron's intrinsic geometric affinity just speeds up the convergence remarkably.
So these results, all taken together, they led to the discovery of the unified harmonic standard, which really speaks to the elegance and efficiency of this design.
Yes, the source material details what they called the moment of harmonic convergence. They were looking for the optimal learning rate, and found that by setting it to a specific tiny value, a binary harmonic reciprocal of the phase space, $2, which is about 0.00195, The network enters a resonance state.
The resonance state. So the computational frequency matches the geometric properties of the problem space itself.
Precisely. And when they hit this resonance, a single non-optimized small 32-neuron configuration was suddenly able to solve the logic, the arithmetic, the structure, and the topology tasks simultaneously.
Without any task-specific tuning.
And that kind of universal applicability is the hallmark of true architectural efficiency. It suggests they've tapped into a really fundamental computational principle.
Okay, we've established that the uneuron stores memory as a deterministic phase angle preserved by rotation. But just spinning a dial isn't enough. That dial needs to snap into place to represent a stable, logical truth, not just a wobbly, continuous variable.
Right.
So how does the network enforce that its phase becomes a robust logical truth? This must be the mechanism for self-correction.
That takes us into the advanced concepts in the UIT framework, specifically the move to geometric logic and self-correction. If the traditional GRU works on a probabilistic interpretation, its output is a likelihood of being odd.
The MPSN operates on a deterministic interpretation. So if the uneuron is doing the parity task, a phase angle of 180 degrees isn't just a high probability of being odd.
No, it is the geometric absolute truth state. It's the geometric location on the phase circle that represents the odd state. The network calculates location, not likelihood.
Okay, so how does it stabilize this geometric truth?
The system employs two complementary non-standard mechanisms. Let's start with mechanism one, harmonic quantum locking.
It sounds complicated, but you said it's essentially a differentiable loss function.
It is. Think of the phase space as a continuous circular track. The logical answer, even or odd, is discrete. If you just let the network update the phase continuously, it would be vulnerable to noise.
Right.
Quantum locking solves this by imposing a regulatory potential energy landscape on that phase space.
Can you elaborate on the concept of a potential well here?
Imagine the circular track has two deep magnetic divots, one at 0 degrees for even and one at 180 degrees for odd. The continuous phase angle, which is like a marble rolling on this track, is forced by this landscape to settle only in those designated discrete logical spots.
So it's creating stability basins.
Exactly. Yeah. Mathematically, it does this by summing multiple sine squared potentials. This differentiable function creates these deep basins, effectively forcing the continuous phase to quantize into discrete logical states or fixed points.
It's turning a continuous circle, says in one wonder, into a discrete stable binary switch, a MathBZD2.
And we can actually track the efficiency of the self-organization using the phase coherence metric. The sources explain this process beautifully as quadrature emergence.
Okay.
Initially, the network starts in a random uniform state where the phase coherence is near zero, approx 0555. As training goes on, the network spontaneously organizes its own phase space, building the necessary internal topological structure, a lattice that supports the logical operations. And dollars drops to the target range of about $0.44, 0.47 center.
This spontaneous self-organization is a key insight. It's a symmetry-breaking event.
It is. The continuous symmetry of the phase circle is broken down into the discrete symmetry of the logic gate. And this directly connects to observations in neuroscience, where successful working memory is characterized by the emergence of phase-locked limit cycles.
Stable, repeating oscillatory dynamics that represent preserved information.
Yes. The U-neuron is literally engineering this dynamic stability into its architecture. It's embodying the logic via topology.
That geometric locking ensures stability. But how does the network know when it has achieved the perfect lock and should stop learning or maybe adjust its learning rate? That brings us to mechanism two, dynamic active braking.
The geometric braking coefficient is a sophisticated regulatory mechanism. Unlike standard optimization, which just keeps trying to reduce the loss, this mechanism modulates the learning rate or the loss gradient based on the network's internal phase coherence.
So the system is constantly asking itself, how stable is my internal geometric representation of the truth across the entire batch of training data?
It's an internal declaration of certainty.
Okay.
As the system approaches a locked state-high phase coherence, 100% accuracy, the braking coefficient dollar drops towards zero. The UIT framework calls this the crystallization of certainty.
So the network internally declares that its constructed reality is complete and immutable.
And it refuses further drastic plasticity. This is crucial because it prevents the classic deep learning problem of overcooking the weights, where a network keeps learning irrelevant noise after it has already found an optimal solution.
And the data shows this braking isn't static, it's dynamic. It acts as a true regulator.
We have a perfect data example from the topology benchmark analysis demonstrating this active homeostasis. In one run, the braking coefficient dollar drops significantly from the start, confirming a deep structural lock, and it hit a low of 0.375 at epoch 500. Then, unexpectedly, it rose again to 0.553 by epoch 900.
Why would it do that? Why would the network increase its application of a corrective gradient after it's already at 100% accuracy?
It's acting like a thermostat for truth. Even with 100% accuracy, numerical precision issues over thousands of steps might cause the underlying phase angle to drift infinitesimally.
I see.
When the network detects that drift, a measurable shift in phase coherence, the doll away from the target ideal dollar, instantly rises. This applies a specific corrective phase-restoring gradient. It's a mechanism for causal self-regulation of plasticity, ensuring that the stable logic lattice remains perfectly stable and fixed over indefinitely long periods.
That is genuinely innovative. It's not just optimizing toward a solution. Well, it's regulating its own internal state to actively maintain that solution's truth.
Exactly.
So stepping back, what does this new topological approach mean outside of the theoretical AI labs?
Yeah.
How does this guaranteed reliability translate to the world we inhabit?
The primary utility of the U-neuron is profoundly practical. It's about guaranteeing reliability in sequence modeling where perfect long-term memory is non-negotiable.
Right. Not just accepting a statistical approximation, which is what LSTMs provide.
Exactly. This means the U-neuron could potentially replace standard RNNs in any context where compounding errors are dangerous or costly.
Okay, give us some examples.
Let's look at the robust, real-world examples detailed in the source materials. Take, for instance, automated cooking systems. Yep. Restaurants are already deploying highly sophisticated machines that can cook complex sequential dishes like specialized ramen or stir fry. These systems are aiming for consistency equivalent to a highly experienced human chef.
But cooking isn't just one step. It's a long, continuous sequence of judgments.
It is, and that complex sequential judgment relies on real-time computer vision processing, often using HSV hue, saturation, value color space conversion, which is robust against variable lighting. And this is combined with foreground segmentation. The system has to track crucial parameters over a long sequence, things like cooking ripeness, unevenness, oil glossiness, and sauce absorption.
So walk us through a potential failure chain in a magnitude-based system like a GRU in this scenario.
Okay, consider cooking cabbage in a stir fry. Raw cabbage might have a hue in the low 70s. As it cooks, it brightens, moving toward maybe the 88 to 96 degree interval.
Right.
But if it overcooks, the hue drops back down into the 70s again, signaling spoilage or burning.
I see the problem.
Right. A standard GRU, processing 50 vision frames per second over several minutes, that's a long sequence, might suffer from contraction bias. A slight numerical error in judging the initial raw state, say a hue of 76 degrees, could compound.
And later in the sequence.
Later in the sequence, the network, having lost its memory of the start state, might mistakenly interpret the 90-degree fully cooked state as the beginning of the overcooked 80-degree range. Or it might confuse the current state with the initial raw state. It leads to a catastrophic timing error.
So the compounding numerical error leads to a catastrophic sequential judgment.
But the U neuron, because it preserves the phase angle representing the state of ripeness perfectly across that long sequence of frames, it reduces the error rate in judging these complex conditions down to a reported 3%. The reliability is guaranteed over the sequence length.
Which is a direct benefit for anyone relying on high-quality automated food production.
It is. And the source has also highlighted the improvement in robust human-machine interfaces, or HMIs. This sounds like an application where error propagation is not just costly, but potentially life-altering.
Absolutely.
It's paramount for accessibility. Think of control systems developed for the severely disabled. Patients who can't use their hands can operate computers, communicate, or move wheelchairs using only sequences of head gestures.
Like, and the HMI relies on computer vision capturing and classifying 9 distinct head gestures.
Yeah.
Forward, up, down, left, right, and the 4 diagonals.
Right, which is already a complex classification task. But it relies on sequence tracking. The system uses skin color recognition to identify head features and then calculates the barycenter of pixels in that area. The difference in the barycenter's offset judges the direction of motion.
Okay, so imagine a user needs to execute a complex command like type H that might require a sequence of 4 or 5 carefully executed steps. Up, left, forward, down diagonal, for instance.
Exactly. And if the underlying memory structure is a GRU, a slight error in tracking the second gesture, the leftward one, might compound. That could cause the system to misinterpret the final state and execute the wrong command entirely.
A failure to reliably track that sequence of intentions renders the interface useless.
Frustrating.
Utterly. The U neuron's guaranteed long-term non-degrading memory maintains high accuracy across the command sequence. It ensures the reliability of tracking that intentional path is sustained, reducing compounding errors, and dramatically improving the user's ability to interact reliably with the world.
Beyond these essential practical benefits, what does this new architecture imply for the theory of AI? How does science benefit from this shift?
This architecture is a massive validation for the emerging field of topological deep learning, or TDL.
We've heard TDL referred to as the next step beyond graph neural networks, or GNNs. How do we differentiate them? GNNs are excellent at modeling pairwise relationships, nodes, and edges. Think of a social graph or a molecular structure. But TDL moves beyond just connectivity. It incorporates higher order topological concepts like connected components, loops, and voids. It uses mathematical tools like persistent homology to characterize these features across multiple scales.
So if a GNN tells you who is connected to whom, TDL tells you the shape of the relationship network.
That's a perfect way to put it. The U neuron's success validates the TDL premise by demonstrating that when you map computation onto a stable topological structure, the phase lattice, you gain deterministic certainty and robustness.
It's a move from the emulation of logic to the embodiment of logic.
Exactly. From the emulation of logic via magnitude gating, which is fragile, to the embodiment of logic via geometry and topology, which is fundamentally stable. TDL argues that topology affords the most powerful lens through which the global structure and invariant properties of data can be discerned. The U neuron is a prime working example of building that topological logic directly into the computational unit.
This has been a spectacular deep dive. We started with the humble XOR problem, the temporal parity task, which the best standard architectures consistently fail.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished by examining the U neuron, this neural dynamo, that solves it perfectly by leveraging the geometry of rotation and the stability of phase.
The U neuron's key innovation is a monumental shift. It moves memory from fragile magnitude signals, which are prone to contraction bias and erosion, to robust phase angles,
which are mathematically preserved by orthogonal rotation matrices whose determinant is 1.
And this stability is enforced not by complex gates, but by geometric locking, the application of a potential energy well that forces continuous phases into discrete logical truths.
It's a profound shift from the probabilistic approach. The network doesn't just guess the parity state, it geometrically represents it. That leads to certainty, not likelihood.
And that profound shift leads us to our final philosophical contemplation linking geometry, logic, and intelligence as proposed by the Unified Informatic Topology Framework.
If the uneuron achieves perfect, sustained intelligence by using phase angles, or topology, to represent logical states like even and odd, the success of this architecture suggests a radical possibility.
What's that?
That intelligence might fundamentally be a spatial rather than a statistical phenomenon.
Yes. The network achieves its remarkable power by successfully creating an internal topological structure, the phase lattice, that perfectly mirrors the logic of the external problem, the parity chain.
So this implies that intelligence isn't just successful approximation or rapid prediction.
No, it's the creation of a successful isomorphism, a structure-preserving mapping of external complexity onto a simple, stable internal geometry.
That stable internal geometry, those phase-locked limit cycles we talked about, become the physical and mathematical instantiation of perfect memory.
And the success of the uneuron leads to a fundamental question within the UIT framework. If the universe operates as a vast computational engine, and if the computational cost of processing information inherently generates the geometry of learning, as we see with the uneuron,
then what stable topological structures, what specific limit cycles, what specific geometric locks are universally necessary to sustain complex thought over time?
Are we observing the universal requirements for durable intelligence itself?
Food for thought indeed, as you consider the difference between a system that guesses the truth and one that geometrically embodies it. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the uneuron.
Stay curious and keep learning.